Cave Children, Part 2. This is Dr. Mason Perry, September 14th, 1996, 4:36 a.m., Greenwich Mean Time, plus 11 hours. A periodic echoing clack can be heard in the background. I am currently watching a mature rock lizard specimen lift and sort rocks. When the lizard lifts a rock, he will turn it over several times in his prehensile tail, then set it back where he found it. If he comes upon a flaw in the rock, he tosses it up and out of the way of the cave floor. It seems as though the lizard spends some amount of its spare time making sure that its rock supply is more usable in the event of an emergency. A man's voice, also hushed, can be heard nearby. "Look, Mason, a bat just flew onto the ceiling." There is a long silence, then a sudden squeak, followed by a thud.
"Whoa, did you guys see that?
Jesus, the thing is fucking fast." The lizard picked up a rock, and the bat fell off the ceiling. It happened so fast, I didn't even see the throw. The lizard is currently eating the bat it just killed. "You know, Jeanette, we thought that this was a self-defense mechanism, but it looks like a hunting behavior." A series of extremely rapid clacks are heard. "Holy shit. Holy shit, what was that?" The woman, breathless. "Jesus, Mason, did you see it? The lizard was trying to hit it. I think it scared it off." Dr. Mason Perry, September 14th, 1996, 4:45 a.m. Dr. Briggs saw one of the children. We now suspect that it is an arachnid or possibly some sort of insect, rather than a crustacean. It was climbing on the ceiling when it appeared. We didn't notice it, but the rock tail lizard sure did. It whipped a series of rocks up at it with shocking speed. Dr. Briggs was the only one of the three of us to follow the trajectory of the rocks quickly enough to catch a glimpse of it. According to Dr. Briggs, it was probably close to 5 feet in total length and stood perhaps 2 feet high. She didn't get a good look at the creature, but she did confirm a single blinking red eye in the center of its head. The woman. "I'm not sure about this, Mason. You didn't see what I saw. I don't want to be anywhere near that thing. I say we head back." Dr. Briggs is shook up about the whole thing. Dr. Kincaid and I, however, are anxious to press on. Perhaps it's just because we want to get a good look at these children ourselves. The young men who visited these caves reported that they spent approximately an hour wandering inside them when they discovered the nest. So given the time spent observing the first rocktail lizard specimen, I figure it's maybe 20 minutes more into the cave until we see it. Dr. Kincaid has been trying to assuage Dr. Briggs' fears by noting that we will be safely high off the ground, and unlike the young men who visited before us, we will be armed. The woman. "Stop talking to your damn tape for a second. I'm right here. You don't need to fucking narrate over me. I want to head back. The thing was fucking fast. Do you understand? You saw how fast that lizard threw rocks, and it got out of the way of all of them. These things are quick when they want to be, Mason. I don't want to find out what happens when they see us." "Okay, Jeanette, how about this? Would it make you feel better if we use the night vision from here on? That way they won't be able to see us, so you've got nothing to worry about, Jeanette. You've seen animals on expedition that we know can kill humans easily. What's the first thing you learn about those animals? What did you say the whole way here?" The woman. "That if you leave them alone and stay out of their way, they won't bother you." "Exactly. Look, Jeanette, these things are cave spiders, right? Spiders aren't aggressive creatures. If we leave them be and we stay out of their way and they can't see us, we'll be fine." The woman. "I guess. Okay. I'll go, but I want this to go on record, on that little record you're keeping. I don't like this, and I think it's a mistake." "Duly noted." Dr. Mason Perry, September 14th, 1996. I think it's about 5:15 a.m., but I don't want to turn on my watch light. We can see them. I don't think this is the nest that the locals described, though. There are only 4 of them here. Everything they said about these things is true. The big eye, the spindly legs. I can't speak to the gray skin or the eye's redness looking through the goggles, but Dr. Briggs confirmed that earlier. I was expecting the wings to be larger, though. The rigid coverings only seem to go about halfway down the back. We're still at a pretty substantial distance, and even with these binoculars, I can't get enough clarity to make out the details, but I don't see a mouth on these creatures. They have 2 vertical slits just below the eye, it looks like, and I think these are nostrils of some kind, but it's leading me to doubt that these creatures are any sort of arachnid or insect. And actually, hey, Bill, does that look like a tail to you? The man. Where? The one closest to us. Look carefully. It sort of follows the arch of the back, but it's just hanging there. Is that a tail? The man. Yeah. I think it is. Are these things reptiles? I don't think so. The back curves down and the tail follows it. Lizard spines don't arch like that. I think these things are mammals. The man. They look hairless. And that's not unheard of for subterranean mammals, and it could be short fur, right? I can't tell at this distance. The woman. Okay, you've seen them. Can we go now, please? Yeah, we probably should. Marcine is going to want to see these things himself anyway. Ah, oh, shit. This is Dr. Mason Perry, September 14th, 5:43 a.m. We've retraced our steps back to the area where we first observed the rocktail lizard in action, and something's wrong. We followed the line up ahead about 300 feet and saw that it led us across a shallow pool of water. We could easily cross it, but none of us remember crossing any water. Everything's past this point, and it feels extremely unfamiliar to all of us. The woman can be heard sobbing. She then says, "This is what he does. This is what he does. This is what he does. This is how he punishes trespassers. This is what he does." Janetta's taking this pretty hard. The woman, upset and angry. "This is what they said. They said that Bondulth imprisons people in these caves. Didn't you listen? This is what he does. He's getting us lost, trying to confuse us, trying to draw us in deeper. His children have seen us. They know we're here, and we gave them time. We gave them time to retie our line on a new path that leads us further away into the cave." The man. "Try to calm down, Jeanette. No cave demon is trying to get us, okay?" The woman, shrieking. "This is what he does. I wanted to turn back. I wanted to turn back. We could have turned back, and you wanted to do your fucking research, and now we're all dead. We are dead. Do you understand me? Dead." We're going to follow the line. Jeanette doesn't want to, but she's more afraid of staying here alone. It's possible that falling rocks or rising water have changed the terrain, and we don't realize it. If we get to the end of the line and it turns out something did bite through it, at least we know. The way I figure it, it'll be dawn soon. Daylight should be an easy enough source to follow to an exit, if worst comes to worst.